Okay. So, we're continuing on with our Lojong teachings, right? Our mind training, if that word makes you uncomfortable. Our mind training teachings. And, just a quick review, I mean, that these teachings are a way for us to take our practice off the cushion, right? I mean, there are practices for our cushion, meaning our meditation time. Might be a chair. But really, it's how do we transform our relationship to our lives, and more specifically to the uncomfortable parts, right? We don't really need much transformation for the good parts when things are going good, when we wake up and feel happy. I mean, maybe hold on a little less. Maybe that's our only transformation there. But really, what we struggle with is the hard stuff. Right, and again, you don't find a lot of places where you can just freely talk about it and share about it. Yes, you have therapy, but it's almost like taboo to be suffering. Meanwhile, everybody is suffering. So it's like we feel like ashamed, or we feel like we're not supposed to, or that life is supposed to be easy, or life's supposed to make us happy. All these kind of entitled beliefs and perceptions that color our reality. And we don't have practices, or we've never been taught the practices to at least use these things as a way to transform our lives and our hearts and our minds. So these teachings are just little fun ways, fun little teachings that you can bring with you that you can start to notice, start to practice. And you remember the beginning, it was just kind of laying down the foundation. We learned samatha, which just means concentration, right? The counting the breathing. So hopefully you guys are practicing that and building your concentration, learning to let go of thoughts, and learning to just let things be, and finding the ease of just allowing. We also went over the four precious not the four precious, the four, I don't know, remembrances or things that they had us contemplate, which is the preciousness of life. I wrote that down. That's why I just said it. The preciousness and rarity of our situation, that this is really a special thing. I mean, how often do human beings come into the world in all these other galaxies and all these other, places in the universe? How often does life spring into being? And who knows, right? So it's a very rare opportunity, very precious opportunity, and we are that mystery, right? We don't have to go to space to look at the mystery of life. We're it. Here we are. We were thrown into this existence, and here we are. And we can use this time wisely, and that's what these like foundational practices are reminding us, that yes, it's a precious existence, it will surely end, and we don't know when that is, right? So that's a reminder. It's not made to scare you, it's a reminder to wake up, right? How am I living? Am I wasting my time and just chasing around things that really don't matter at the end of the day? Or am I looking deeply? Am I, using this life wisely? Then a reminder of basically karma, but of that your actions and words and what you choose to indulge in really affects everything. We're so interrelated and interconnected that what you do to yourself, you put out into the world, right? If I'm more at ease, then everywhere I go, I bring ease. If I am caught in my pain and unable to deal with my life and just angry and blaming everybody, then I cause problems everywhere I go. And if you look at even the most horrific people in the world, there's some form of contraction, right? Whether it's around pain from childhood, maybe they were abused and beaten, or just raised in a hate-filled home. But there's some sort of contraction and unease. And the Buddhist belief is not that we're bad. We're not fundamentally bad. There's no original sin in Buddhism. It's saying that underneath all of the neuroses and the confusion, that we're actually naturally good. That, and think about it, when you're at ease in meditation, when you let your neurotic stuff kind of calm down and you're just present, do you want to hurt somebody? You want to steal something? You know, do you want to cause chaos and harm? No, because you're at ease. So when we, you know, pray for, let's say, or send loving kindness to people who are just really bad, you might think, I don't want to pray or send loving kindness to this person. But if they receive that somehow, by some chance, right, and they actually have ease in their life, they won't cause that harm anymore, right? So I don't know how I got on that, but basically karma, right? Let's get back on track here. We got a lot to talk about. Stop taking me off track, Jane. And then the last one is, that pain and suffering and difficulty is a part of life. We have to really just take that in and really get that point. That life is hard. It's hard for everybody. And there are going to be moments that are really hard or a lot harder. And it's just the way it goes. You know, I'm not trying to be dismissive about it. But that's just the fact of the matter. And the other fact of the matter is that we make it a whole lot worse by, you know, indulging in our reactivity, our judgments, our storylines. And we can actually bring some ease by reducing our reactivity or reducing indulging in that initial knee-jerk contracted reactivity and learning to kind of have a more open, relaxed relationship to difficulty, which is all these slogans, right? That's what they're trying to train us to do, to turn towards the unpleasant rather than continuously running away, pushing away, to just say, okay, like, you're here and let's see what we can do. So last time we talked about absolute, right? Absolute and relative. And we used the word bodhicitta, but remember, bodhi means awake, citta means mind. So what we're trying to cultivate is an awakened mind. And there's the absolute level, which is the truest nature of our mind. Open, spacious, loving. This is like the deepest part of mind. So when they say your true nature is good, that underneath all these confusing thoughts and moods and sensations and all of experience is this underlying open, spacious quality of mind. So the good news is it's already here, right? So it's not like you need to go out and attain it. But at the same time, we do have to practice letting go into it because we're so used to holding on to everything that keeps arising in our mind, our moods, our emotions. We just cling to all of that and we forget what is the most deepest nature. And you don't need to have a deep, deep realization of this to move forward. You know, they put like this, if I, you know, on one level, it's like the absolute should be the last chapter, right? Because that's after a lifetime of practice. Do you really start to, you know, live from that place and get to know that place more and more as time goes on? But they put it here to remind you that you can't just do this on your own on what we're going to learn today, the relative level. You just can't, you're going to get exhausted. If you can just think that you can just try to love everybody and care for everybody without having any connection to this fundamental spaciousness, it'll be too exhausting. And you need to learn to rest in just that natural state of mind so you don't burn out. Does that make sense? Maybe. So there is this open quality of mind. So today we're talking about relative awakening or awakened mind or relative compassion. And this is really where the work is, right? This is actually loving people, right? So yes, there's this underlying openness that's all loving and compassion and open. But most of the time, we're on the relative level with all of our confusion and all the difficult people. And the relative now is about, how do I love these people? How do I cultivate this unconditional love and compassion? And if you haven't noticed, it's not an easy task, right? And if you're in any kind of relationship, whether it's with a parent, a coworker, an intimate partner, I mean, does anybody agree that it's hard to love somebody all the time? Right? And then, so that's just the people that are close to us. And then throw in political leaders, throw in murderers, throw in, you know, people that bring harm and suffering to you and other people. You can see it's a lot of work. You know, we're going to meet a lot of walls and a lot of places where we hold back. And this is starting to expand that a little bit and start to create that possibility. And what kind of is difficult about this is that real compassion involves pain, right? And difficulty, right? Because it sounds like a nice concept. Yes, I want to be compassionate, but that means you have to be willing to open up to pain, right? What does compassion mean? To feel passion with, right? To feel somebody's pain as your own. That's compassion. We're not feeling sorry for them. That's pity. That's different, right? We're actually willing to be right there and to hold that pain as if it was our own. And that's compassion. And that's, you know, that compassion that we're trying to train ourselves, to be willing to be with. This is important too, these two words, be with. We're not doing this stuff to get through it. It's not like, let me meditate so I can get through this painful moment. It's how can I learn to be with it? See that very kind of difference? Get through is like, I don't like it. I need it to go away. Be with is you're here and I'm here with you, right? So we learn how to do that. That's what these slogans are all about, is transforming our suffering, right? And finding ways to be with them and use them to cultivate our spiritual path, our awakened mind. And, you know, in order to be compassionate, we first need to open up to our suffering and our pain, right? Because how we relate to our pain is how we'll relate to others. And I always have given examples like, you know, if let's say you're sick or you're, you know, someone you love is sick and in the hospital. You'll have some people that don't go visit. You ever have that happen? It's like, where the heck is Sally? it's like your mother's sick and Sally hasn't come once, you know, or you know, they just don't even call you, don't check in, don't visit the hospital, nothing, right? So that person cannot bear their own fears about dying and the pain of seeing that. So they just check out. And it's not helpful. And there's no compassion, right? Then you have other people who are trying to be compassionate but are still uncomfortable with their pain. So they try to say, oh, well, you're going to be okay. Or it's like, I'm terminally ill. I'm not going to be okay, you know? Or if somebody loses a child, well, you still have the other two. Like, oh, like, are you kidding me? You know, it's like they can't understand feeling that pain and they're too afraid of feeling that pain. So they try to, like, you know, paint the situation with rainbows and unicorns and flowers, you know, and just to try to take you out of it. Or they try to fix your feelings. You know, just walk away from people that are trying to fix your feelings. Like, oh, well, why, you know, they give you all that unsolicited advice, right? Oh, you got, now you should be doing this. You got to be eating like this. You got to, and make sure you get out. And it's just like, you don't want to hear it. It's like they just dismiss your pain. And they're not doing it on purpose. They have good intentions. But they just are not willing to be with their own pain. So how can they possibly try to be with yours? Right? So you can see the importance of this. And the people that are most helpful will come when you're in a difficult time and not try to fix you. Not give you some cheesy quote or, you know, say it's all part of the plan or some nonsense. You know, it's just, I know you're in pain. I can't do anything about it, but I'm willing to sit with you. I'm here. That's it. And that, from, you know, people who I've spoken with and in my own life seen it, that's the most healing thing, is someone who's just willing to be there and to hold that pain with you and not be afraid of it and not try to fix it. You can't fix it. How do you fix the pain of a lost child? You don't. You don't fix that pain. Right? You just have to be with it. And you get better at being with it. You know? So it can be very healing. So, and we start to see that we're not separate. So how I relate to my pain is how I relate to your pain. So if I'm putting all this effort into getting to know my pain, it's going to affect you guys, right? Because if you're in pain, then I can sit with you and I can be healing in that sense, that I can be effective or most compassionate because I've already sat with my stuff. I'm not afraid of it. Yeah, it sucks and it's unpleasant, but I'm willing to sit with you and in your difficult times. So we start to see that we're not so separate, and what I do to myself is helping you guys, and what you guys do is helping me and the rest of the world. I know it doesn't seem that way all the time, but you know, we are very interrelated on that level. So I believe we've learned Tonglen before, but let's see. So the seven, we're on number seven. We're gonna go through 7 through 10 today. Sending and taking, or sending and receiving, should be practiced alternately. These two should ride the breath. So this is the instruction for Tonglen. We have done it before. I don't know if you were at the class for that one, but it's basically breathing in the suffering, whether it's your own or somebody else's, taking it into your heart, allowing it to be transformed, and sending out relief and ease and peace, health, whatever it is. And this is a twofold practice. So on one level, yes, we're trying to cultivate compassion. We want to be, you know, able to be a compassionate person. But on a deeper level, we're trying to chip away at that fear of suffering. So if you have a friend who's got cancer, that you're willing to breathe that cancer in and take it from them, and then allow it to be transformed within yourself, and then send them health, send them happiness, send them ease, you know, whatever, you know, you think that they would need in that moment. So we're actually really chipping at that fear.
How do you, like, prevent yourself from feeling overwhelmed by picking up other people's, like, sometimes, like, my husband's always like, you're empathetic to a fault because I get sick feeling, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's where the exhale comes in. So, like, you see that your heart is big enough to take it in without being overwhelmed by it. And you don't start with like, well, let me just quickly run ahead. No. Number 10, I like to put 7 and 10 together. Begin the sequence of sending and taking with yourself. So you start with your own stuff, you know, and it doesn't have to be big stuff. Maybe it's just, I don't know, you have a cold or something, right? And you can breathe in the unpleasant feelings of it. You're willing to accept this cold, and then you just send yourself relief, health, you know, and you start with that. I mean, you don't want to just go right to traumatic stuff without ever having trained. I mean, we have to use our own wisdom and be kind to ourselves. You know, we don't just, if we are really traumatized and we have a lot of pain from trauma in our life, we don't want to just go, okay, let me start with this, and let me take everybody's trauma while I'm at it, right? So we have to use our own wisdom with what we can handle, and you know, little bits. You have the rest of your life to really explore this. So to breathe it in, and the way that it's kind of done is you can use a visualization, and this may help. You know, you can, if you see somebody who's like really draining, and you know, you breathe in this like black, thick smoke. It goes into the nose, into the heart, and you can almost imagine that it just transforms into a white light and then send out relief. But again, if we're just starting with ourselves, we breathe in whatever suffering we have, we let it transform, and then we let that white light or whatever, you know, visualization can be whatever you like, but that's the way it's traditionally taught. Just let it kind of go through your body and you feel that relief. So you have a moment of, I'm willing to feel suffering, but I'm also open to relief. And it's just, you know, you're receiving both with equanimity and equally, you know, and saying, okay, here's the suffering, here's the relief, breathing in the suffering, breathing out relief, breathing in suffering, breathing out relief. So let me see which this commentary says. So in this practice, you send out happiness to others and you take in any suffering that others feel. You take in with a sense of openness and compassion, and you send out in the same spirit. people need help, and with this practice we extend ourselves to them. And this is a great practice when you feel helpless. Like if you have a like one of my friends who was an addict who died last summer, you're helpless. How many times I offered him to help, to bring him to places, to work out with him, just to get him straight. Don't listen. Wasn't ready. Didn't want to do it. And make you feel helpless. Or if you see someone terminally ill, like, what are you going to do? What could you possibly do to make that better, right? So it's this is something that you can do to not feel so helpless. That you're using this suffering to bring some healing and compassion. And whether or not they actually receive it, I don't know. There's, you know, there's things, studies that show prayer works. There's studies that show prayer doesn't work. So I guess you don't know. If there's a chance that it might, great. But really, this is about cultivating our mind, right? And as we just learned before, what we do to ourselves, what we do to our mind, we're really doing for everybody. Because yes, you might not be able to change that terminal illness, but you could change the mind that meets it. And then you could be of most use by not trying to run away, but just being there, holding their hand. Wiping their mouth. You know, I've been in hospice situations. These are the things you have to do. Right? And to be willing to just be with it. And even while you're sitting there with them, you know, you breathe in the suffering of dying, of the fears, and then you send them out like peace and ease so that they can, you know, go on with ease. Yeah, it's intense. This is intense stuff. And we have to really start with the little things, the little annoyances, the little frustrations. Maybe you get into a little argument with someone in your life and you're feeling that frustration. The practice is to drop the story. Drop the story and go directly to the unpleasant. And that's always the instruction. We get lost in the storylines. The practice is always drop the story and come into the felt sense of it. So if you ever forget, like, well, how would I practice with this difficulty? Drop the story, which is why concentration practice is important, that we have been practicing letting go of thoughts and meditation over and over again, that we can get to that place of, oh, I can't believe they did this. Thinking, ooh, I feel like I'm on fire right now, right? And then let me re-soften. Let me get in touch with that tenderness. Right, the thoughts will keep you contracted. Going directly to the feelings will bring you to the tenderness, and this brings us to number 8, which is called 3 objects, 3 poisons, 3 seeds of virtue. So basically, the 3 objects are pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral. So anything that comes into our being, whether it's a thought, a sound, a sight, a smell, a taste, a touch, an emotion, it has this feeling tone, right? If you hear birds, and it's a beautiful day, you hear birds, there's a pleasant feeling tone, right? If, you know, if you're trying to go walk through the woods and you hear construction and trucks backing up or loud music or a car horn going off, there's this just like contraction, there's this unpleasant sensation, or not sensation, but feeling tone. And then the stuff that we don't really care much about or that doesn't capture our attention, like or dislike, it's just neutral. There's a lot of neutral, like the feeling of our feet right now. It's there, but we ignore it because it's neutral, right? And from these 3 objects come the 3 poisons, traditionally translated as greed, hatred, and ignorance. You could think of attachment, aversion, and indifference. I like that a little better, right? If you have a pleasant, you know, you eat one cookie and feeling tone is great, right? Amazing. What arises? Greed. I want more. I want this experience to last. It needs to last longer. I need to have it more and more and more, right? The construction example, these idiots, like I needed, you know, I'm trying to walk and they're making all this noise. I don't like this. I don't want this. Aversion. And then, like I said, with the neutral, we're just not even paying attention to that stuff. We're kind of indifferent and ignorant to it. So normally, these are the things. These are really the 3 things that run our lives on a day-to-day basis, right? We want more of the pleasant, less of the unpleasant, and we don't really care about anything else, right? So we can see that, yes, as the issue, but we can also transform the issue into, like they said, the three seeds of virtue. So these three poisons can become a seed of compassion and loving kindness. So it's like when we feel good and we start to see that more and more and more, that can be, instead of something that we just pursue and we try to fulfill that, that can be an alarm. Pay attention. See what's happening here. Right? And in that way, we gain more wisdom. We gain compassion for the human experience because other, you know, people are going through this and are lost in it. So we use the things that are the poison as the medicine, right? And that's really what Tonglen is all about, is we don't want to suffer. We don't want to feel pain. We don't want to be around people who are in pain. But life presents that to us. So what's the alternative? All right, let me breathe it in. This is unpleasant and my mind doesn't like it, but let me start training myself to not necessarily like it. We don't have to like it, but to open to it and to receive it with equanimity, with an open heart and say, okay, you can come in, and then you breathe out the relief. You know, and that you start training yourself in that way. And I love this. You can use this anytime, whether you feel good or bad. You wake up, you're having a great day, breathe in the pleasant and send it out to everybody else. May everybody receive this pleasant feeling. May everybody wake up and feel this good. It doesn't just have to be our suffering, but it's usually the suffering that we don't have a good relationship with. So when we wake up and we're depressed that day, drop the story about it. Oh, me, my poor life, wow, 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 you know. And just go to that heaviness. Ooh, heaviness, right? Feel it in your chest, in your head, wherever you feel it, relax with it and breathe it in. And if you're courageous enough in that moment, you don't think it's going to be too overwhelming, breathe it in. And it's almost as if I'm willing to feel this so nobody else in the world has to. And I love to think of like Jesus, the crucifixion, as like the ultimate act of Tonglen, right? I'm willing to die so that you can all be free. So that you all have a chance, right? If you think of the, you know, original sin and Jesus dies for, you know, that mistake of Adam, so that you have the chance of eternal life if we're following the Christian tradition, right? But what a deeply compassionate thing to do. I'm willing to die so that you can all be free, so that you all have a chance. Right? So that's Tonglen, right? And that's what we can do. We don't have to be Christ or Buddha. We can just be who we are, where we are. We can be the most angriest person in the world, and we could start right there. Start with that anger. We could be the most depressed person in the world, and we can start right there. And we can start breathing it in. May I breathe in the poison of this depression and just the heaviness and the difficulty and the, you know, the suffering. And then let me transform it. And let me send myself relief. You know, and you start with yourself. And then as you get accustomed to that heaviness and you aren't afraid of it as much, then you say, you know what? I'm starting to get comfortable with mine. Let me feel this and take everybody's. And then you start to envision other people you know, or maybe people that you don't know. You breathe in their smoke. And you know your heart's big enough because you're in touch with the absolute, right? That infinite, spacious, loving quality that's the true nature of our mind. You breathe it in. You let it be transformed. And you send it out, right? And it's such a great, if you remember to do this, it's not that it makes the suffering go away. That's not the point. But there just is some ease. It's almost instant ease when you can pause with a feeling of unpleasant. It's almost instant. And try it. Don't just believe me. Try it. Next time you're feeling really overwhelmed, angry, anxious, sad, grieving, just pause with it for a second. I like hand to the heart. For me, that's just pause with it and just let it be an object of your attention, right? Because it's an issue when it's who we are, when we identify as it, when we're the owner of it. But it's just an expression of life, of the infinite, beautiful life. You know, life is beyond pleasant and unpleasant and all right, good, bad, evil, and all this stuff. Life is beyond that. And you see that clearly. Just look at nature. Is there evil in nature? Right? If a spider is eating a bug, is that evil? No, it's just beyond our ideas. Good and evil come from the human mind. And it's the human understanding of what other humans are doing. It's a human thing. It does not exist in the universe. The sun is not evil or good. It's just the sun. Even calling it that's already too much. Right? So just something to realize that, like, all these ideas we have are just our ideas and our perceptions. And we limit ourselves by our perceptions. Right? So this is all part of the practice. So let me just read the last one and then we can do some of the meditation. And then the last one is, in all activities, train with the slogans. So basically, that use your whole life. Use your whole life as a way to train yourself with this stuff. Right? Always keep this in mind and have the mind inclined towards it. You know, and like that joke, which really isn't a joke, that I always say is, like, even if you get caught, at least follow it up with some compassion. Like, the guy cuts you off, oh, you ass, may you get home safely and may you be well. Right? Because we want to make that the default. Because the default now is restlessness and reactivity. So how do we make our default mode awakenedness and compassion? And the only way how is to continuously train, to remind yourself, put, you know, notes in your car, be awake. Are you awake? Right? Like, pay attention. Like, and just have reminders everywhere, whether that be a little statue of something or a picture of somebody or just a note to yourself, or set an alarm once an hour to go off. Wake up, you know, wake up, sleepyhead. And just a reminder to pause, to welcome. You know, and if you know that every day at a certain time you're going to feel like crap, I had a girl that had anxiety every day at 5, then pay attention at 4:55. Make sure you're awake. Okay. Well, you know, you can come and just do your thing. And I'm going to be willing to be there with you, you know, and hold you with loving attention. And I'm telling you, it may be subtle at first, but there is transformation that happens. And there is ease and there is space. Just remembering to set pause with something unpleasant. And really try that this week. If you're going to try anything, right? I know it's hard to try the meditations and to stay with that. But at least try to pause with things that are unpleasant. Just for a few breaths. And see what happens when it stops being who you are and it just becomes something in your awareness. Right, in that spaciousness of mind, and okay, ooh, there's a tight sensation, right? See how much simpler that is? Ah, tight sensation. Versus, oh, I'm anxious today, and I'm anxious every day. And then the storyline comes in. What's wrong with me? I hate this. I don't want to feel this way. No one else feels this way. Ah, thinking. Well, what's going on here? Oh, just the tightness in the chest. It's workable. It's impermanent, it's workable, it's not me. All right, just keep seeing that. And that's good. So that's in a nutshell, right? The 7 through 10, so they're relative. Is there any questions on that? We do have a few minutes before I can do the meditation. Any questions on any of this? Any comments, any sharing from, you know, the past few weeks? With anyone practice pausing, or, you know, have any experiences with that?
I had to practice it on my way here because I was late and someone was driving 20 miles an hour in front of me. And I'm standing there and saying, okay, I could get myself upset about this, or I can realize that there's a reason, there's something that's making her do that to calm me down, to say, slow down a little bit, and to maybe just let it ease its way. Maybe there's something terrible up ahead that's this is preventing me from getting to. So she still was driving too slowly.
All right.
But it wasn't her fault. I was late. It was my fault, and I was getting myself upset about it, and I shouldn't have.
And you know we don't meditate until like 12:40 anyway.
No,
so.
I like what you said. Yeah. I want to be here for it all. But life gets in the way.
Sure. Sure does. Anything else?
It's hard when you're someone close to you is very overreactive and like caught up in their reaction and you're trying to be the opposite of that. It's challenging. Mm-hmm. Like,
well,
parent.
No, but you know, start to notice the reactivity arising in that, and start to really let that be an object of your meditation, rather than you know. So like, see like how it affects them and what their body is like, and maybe try to hear what's really trying to be said, you know, and what's the underlying thing driving it, and just it can be something to explore.
Yeah.
And then you can also add in the Tonglen. This can be done informally as well, and just breathe in her frustration or overreactivity. I mean, people are as they are because of conditions, right? And there's, you know, or pain, or there's some, you know, I like the word contraction. And I try to talk to myself when I see people, this person is in a contracted state. And that might be fear, it might be pain, it might be confusion,
yeah.
A protection. Sure. So you can explore what it looks like in them, right? Because that's kind of doing the same thing. And then also, how do I not escalate this?
Mm-hmm.
So setting that intention, all right, I'm going by mom's today. She's mm-hmm. going to be out of her mind. How can I not escalate it?
I probably shouldn't ask her to listen to this.
Yeah. set the intention before you go there that you are going to meet her neurotic qualities with spaciousness, right? Because when you're spacious, even other people's reactivity can't hold up. You know, you just have that wide panoramic open quality and looking with the eyes of compassion. And if you see contraction, you can see with compassion. It's like, oh, you know, like she wouldn't be this way if she was not feeling some sort of unease or dissatisfaction or pain. So, you know, then that brings new eyes for you in that situation. It's like, oh, how can I bring some ease right now? Maybe just instead of yelling back, you go give her a hug. And be, you know, mom, I love you. It'll shock the system, right? And it might bring her to a tender space. It might not. What are you doing? Get off me. Right? And, you know, then in your head you say, all right, nutcase, you be well. All right. Thank you. But, you know, there's just all different ways of seeing it. But I really like that. Like, really view the process. Of, you know, maybe you said something and then you see the contraction in the body and then you see the mind start going and then it comes out the mouth and just learn about the process and bring as much gentleness as possible. We're not going to get it right and there is no right way. It's just to keep practicing. And it's going to be different from with your mom versus, you know, your friend Sally versus... you know, Pamela at work, who's a pain, and, you know, all these different people. I'm just making up names, by the way. They're not real.
Sure you are.
The people in this story are not...
Sally, and I do work in a
kid. Wait, are you talking about me? But, you know, you just keep learning how to meet these people. And sometimes it's different on a day-to-day thing. You know, you might work yesterday, and then you try it, and, you know, so don't be attached to what works and what doesn't work, right? And that's the whole essence of meditation is meeting that moment with a fresh mind, not from past experiences, not from what we think is right, but really trusting that absolute, that open, spacious wisdom, that deepest part of ourselves. And if we just meet the moment and we know what our reactivity is and we see what there, we might have enough space to do something differently. So.
Yeah, right. The pause is is really the important part.
Right.
Just letting it settle for that moment, taking that extra breath and just...
Right, and the pause, usually people say...
She could understand to do the pause because it would make everything much, you know, it would make her life or situation better, and I don't... I like want her to know how, but again, I can't like fix her, so it's just like...
Well, then she wouldn't be a good teacher for you then. So.
I know, but I want to help her. You know? Yeah. Like,
well, help her by helping you, right? And how you react to her can tremendously affect her. And it might not cure her. We're not trying to cure the human condition. But if we can bring 1% less suffering or less reactivity, I mean, that's a big deal, right? And that, you know, see how you're escalating it from her escalation, which is hard.
She may be feeling a little guilty knowing that you're going to react that way and that she's putting you in pain. And the guilt may make her feel...
I don't think she's aware of any of it. That's part of the problem.
That's possible, too. Yeah, most people are not aware of...
That's frustrating right
there. It is, because that's... Yeah.
But. Self-awareness is painful.
Yeah.
So, you know, have compassion there, too. Mm. So it's painful to look at what you do. I've cried on retreats, you know, when memories of things I've done in my life...
Sorry, that's why I was crying. Yeah. We were talking about that. Because I was with my mother-in-law when she passed away. Yeah. So, and I remember that feeling of... saying go it's okay. You know, it's just
it's
one
intense.
Of the most powerful moments of my the most powerful moment of
right.
my life. Yeah,
and it's also a blessing to be able to be that person
like my mom was like it's funny because my mom's like I never want to be with someone when they die, and I was like I was honored to be with her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the most difficult time of somebody's life, so.
Yeah.
So why don't we hold all this stuff and transform it. No, don't be sorry.
Okay.
All of my classes, and I really mean this, and this is what I try. All of my classes are a safe place. I don't even want to see it as a class. Yes, I'm running and I'm teaching, but it's a community where we can feel what we feel. We can be angry. We can be sad. You don't have to come in here with a smile. You know, you can come in here sad with a heavy heart. That we can, this practice is about holding ourselves as we are, and as a community, a little community, we can hold each other as we are and help support each other through our difficult lives and not be mad that we're not perfect or not get mad at somebody else if they're screwing up, you know, and just this is the safe place, you know, where we can just be who we are without making, you know, the masks or anything. And how do we work and find ways like how we can work with it. So don't ever be sorry. All right, let's meditate. So we're going to try Tonglen. It's going to be a shorter version, but that's okay. So we start, as always, with the bell. So listen carefully. Practice, you always want to start with that absolute quality of mind. So let's just rest for a moment and just the observer, the one who knows. Right, letting go of this body and mind as me and just allowing it to be an object in awareness. Just one thing of many. Happening in this moment, and you just are aware. Body feels like this, mind is like this, the sounds are as they are, And just resting in this unborn awareness, this awareness that doesn't come into being. Sounds come into being, thoughts, sensations, they all arise in this attention. But awareness itself never comes into being. It allows things to come into being. So if we're resting in awareness, we're open and vast and untouched, really, by what's happening, unaffected. Maybe taking a deep breath or two just to really settle in. Your own pace is fine. Softening the body, bringing no unnecessary tension to the moment. And then we can pick something in our lives. Don't pick the most traumatic thing. But we'll start with ourselves, like the instructions say. But pick something that causes you suffering, whether that's daily or, you know, every once in a while. And don't create stories about it. Don't, you know, blame this person or that person for why it's there. But instead, see if you can bring up the felt sense of what that suffering feels like in your life. And on each inhale, willing to feel it, and breathing it in completely, breathing in through the nose, into the center of the chest. And then on those exhales, you just let it go, and you breathe out relief. And ease, whatever that might be for this particular form of suffering. And again, the visualization, if you are a visual person, is just breathe in this black, thick, heavy smoke. Let it be transformed at that heart center to bright white light, and then exhale and send that through the entire body. Just try that for a minute or two, breathing in the unpleasant, transforming it, and sending out relief. If you have trouble bringing up the felt sense of something, maybe you don't feel that way right now, that's fine. But maybe just saying the word as you breathe in. So maybe it's anxiety. You just kind of say anxiety and all the struggles. And then you send out peace and relaxation, ease. So whatever format works the best. But it's best to really feel on those inhales, if possible, the heaviness, the tightness, and then to let it go. Now feel free to stay with yourself. But if you're comfortable, maybe remembering that millions of others have and do and are experiencing this, and breathing it in with the understanding that you are taking it from them so they are free from it. You're willing to feel it, transform it, and send relief to both yourself and everyone else. Otherwise, just stick with what you're doing for another minute or two. Maybe taking one more breath with the practice. And then letting go again into that spacious quality. So let go of the sending and receiving. And just come back to that open quality of mind. Holding this moment as it is with loving attention. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to do anything. Just see. It's like this. I'm going to hit the bell one more time. Just receive the sound and allow it to arise and pass away. Just a reminder that everything in your life is like that bell. It arises, it stays for a while, and it ends. So use your life to see that, to relate differently to that, Why don't we take a nice deep breath together, in the nose, out the mouth. And we can slowly begin to move our fingers, our toes. And when you're ready, open the eyes. All right. So, any questions or comments on that practice? So if you want to continue with your concentration as your main practice, you can. It's always helpful. And then maybe you can start doing this Tonglen on the spot. So when something arises that is unpleasant or uncomfortable or causing suffering, to even just take 1 minute and say, okay, let me feel this discomfort, let me breathe it in. Let me send myself relief. And don't do it trying to get rid of it, because that's the secret intention there. If I don't like this, I don't want this, I want it gone, let me do Tonglen so it goes away. Don't do that. Do it as a way to learn to be with it. To be with it and to cultivate compassion, to use that poison or that suffering as medicine and as healing medicine and compassion medicine. So, you know, try that, and especially if you see some kind of suffering, maybe you see a homeless person when you're on your way to work, to maybe consider breathing in that suffering. May I have the suffering of not having a home and, you know, not having a place or, quote, you know, that kind of fear and whatever else comes along with that, and may they, you know, have whatever they need to. So, like, you can just do it on the spot, and you're just... Every little seed you plant with that possibility, you're planting seeds for future fruit, right? Fruit of those practices, which is a more compassionate mind, a mind wider or spacious enough to hold suffering without running away or contracting around it. So every little time that you breathe with, even if you don't do this and you just pause and you feel it for one breath, that's a big deal. And that will start making that your default mode. So the more you do this stuff, the better. You don't have to be obsessed with it, but just try to let difficulty be a reminder or an alarm that you need to pay attention. You need to go directly to the feeling, and you got to be willing to be with it. And if you want to add that extra dimension of breathe it in, send out relief, or be willing, you know, if you want to take on that bigger picture of I'm willing to feel this so no one else has to. You know that's not really true. People are still going to feel that way, but that's the mind you're creating. All right, this sucks, but let me feel it so no one else in the world has to. And you breathe it in, you feel that tightness, that heaviness, that crappiness, and then you breathe out relief. So it's a great practice. So we'll continue on. What's the next time? 2 weeks? The 25th. So we'll see you then.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.